Blog Talk Radio.
A denied entry to USA show.
You go retaliating and do towards your friends, it becomes a gang situation. Next thing you know, y'all up against the military, and then y'all become a militarized zone.
All right, listen up. Have you been stopped at the U.S. border?
Trying to keep it going, you know what I'm saying? But whoever bring the noise, you know, to 109th to figure road, you know what I'm saying? We got to handle our business. We ain't let nobody step on our toes. Blood, rips, or whoever.
Do you have a criminal record? You know who you are.
Come on, bullet holes, scars. Come on, 19, 20 years in prison. YA, camp, juvenile hall, San Quentin, Spokane, Solidad, Cork, Pelican Bay, Chino, the whole.
Well, this show is definitely for you then.
I think the police out here primarily arrest criminals, irregardless of their hue, criminal allegiance, sex, religion, faith, all that.
They are out here to arrest criminals. And gang members tend to fall into the criminal realm. They're criminals. They shoot, kill, pack illegal weapons. They're criminals. So as a consequence of that, they have to have a gang division of the police department.
No, but the pigs ain't out just to arrest a certain person. They are anti-criminal. I ain't mad at them. That's their job. 5-0, no, I ain't got nothing against them. As far as they being soldiers, taking money out of the bank. If they swatting me on some activity, I gotta get down with them. That's the rule. But I ain't gonna fuck with them for no reason, and they ain't gonna fuck with me. Cause I drive by the rule. I ain't got nothing against 5-0. They push up on me, I'm getting ill. And the motherfuckers doing.
Now, reaching out to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest, it's Ken and Lisa.
My name is Ken. My co-host is unavailable at this time. We have a really exciting guest that's coming on the show today. I think today we shall keep the show a bit less. So let me bring him up here. One moment. He's going to be discussing E2, E1, and the L1 visas. And here he is. Okay, here you go. Oh, hope he's not asleep. Let's try it. Okay, let's do this then. Let's try again. Call failed or was not answered. But that's apparent. It was not answered. Let's try again. Shows because none of it's pre-planned or scripted. Always hiccups. Oh, that's the right number. All right, in that case, since he has not answered yet, let me Try it this way. Hopefully he answers. I'm going to try to Skype him in this sense. Well, I just spoke to him like 6 minutes ago, and he's going to get a cup of tea. Hopefully the tea didn't, you know, take that long to brew. Oh, well, this is ringing on this end. No answer. Oh. Yep. Okay, let's try again. Oh, hello. Oh, we tried Skyping. Tried ringing the other number. I'm on the cell, but I mean from the show. Show's live. The other number. Oh, some technical difficulties here. Let's see. Well, if I try now, will you still be able to answer being on this phone or no? No. Regarding Skype, let me do one thing then. Let me see. What if I try? Let me try this. How about now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I don't know if the audience can hear or not, but I'm going to try the other number. Let's see.
All right.
The audience can hear it ringing.
No.
Okay.
No. Hold on, I hear you.
It says ringing. Well, this is a first, but... All right, well, in that case, we have to do it this way. Hello? All right, let's do it this way, then. Okay, yeah, it doesn't seem to be working, so,
Try it again.
Okay.
Right, one more time.
Okay, here we go. Right, one more time. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Oh,
hello?
Now that's excellent.
Hi there.
Excellent. Yep. Now we can hear you.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Good. Technical difficulty.
What? These are the things.
Hello?
The show, which is awesome. Yep. I hear you.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good here.
Yeah, these are things that make the show, though. So it's all as well. Now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Everyone who's listened to this show in the past, they know I have one tradition that I always do. And once you hear the tradition, I venture to say you will be tickled pink. But I have to give my adieu.
Okay.
To Her Majesty.
Oh.
England, the greatest country on the planet.
Nation.
so that's the
very nice. Very nice.
Yeah,
I'm all teary-eyed.
As well as I. I want to welcome Seth Goldberg to the audience. And for your, you know, for your due.
Yeah.
Well, you deserve it. I mean, you know, you're the expert in your field. So, if you want, you can just briefly tell us about, I know all about you, but just a few brief things about where you got your experience from.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a bit about
I guess it goes back to the early 90s. I was really looking for a business that I could get into. And basically looked at immigration to the United States, and that expanded. That's where I met you. That was in Bellingham, Washington. And but from there, it just blossomed into a business that stretched over three countries. And in about 2000. I guess about 2007, I had some bad heart problems, and so I had to leave. But I decided that the business needs me more than I need it, so I decided to come back. And we're focusing on our efforts on the EB-5 program, the E-2 visa program, and the L-1, and the higher end of things. People who have extreme ability in their field, and we're helping companies and individuals get into the United States.
So what I want to do is, for the audience, I'm going to leave it at the grade 5 level, because you're at what's the website for the business? It's I keep forgetting the name. I totally apologize.
It's Goldberg. It's goldberg.com.co.
Goldberg.com.co, that's right. And you're right in the heart of Mother England.
Yeah.
You're right in London.
Yes, that's correct.
We have
an office in London that's servicing the clientele. Like I said, it's exclusive clientele, but we are looking to service as many people as we can. We're getting very busy.
Well,
I did write
for the write-up. I said corporate businesses and also for the common person. You know, we like to help, you know, everyone, so to speak.
Everyone. I'm not just saying that. I'm not saying exclusively. I'm just saying everyone.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Of course, I will see you in Mother England anyway next month. But
Yeah.
Let's go over a bit briefly. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
About the visas. Like, I think in Canada, British Columbia, a lot of the people would be interested in the E-2 visa, so to speak. And you can tell the audience briefly what an E-2 is.
Well, an E-2 is a treaty trader visa, which means there's a list of countries that are allowed to start a business inside the United States. And the E-2 is... gives them the right to live and work inside the United States in their business. So what they say is that you have to be a substantial investment, but substantial could mean anywhere thing from $35,000 to up. The franchise, I've just recently started to get into franchise, which some of them are as low as $19,000 and some are as high as $150,000. So it's hard to say what a substantial investment is. But the visa itself will basically allow you to come over with your family, and will allow you to live and work in the United States. So your children will be allowed to go to school. If they're under 21, you'll be allowed to accompany you, and also your wife will be able to get a work visa to work in a job, not in your company, but in any company, and will allow her to work and contribute to the income while you're setting up your business. And it also allows for managers to come over as well. Like you've got a manager that needs to come over, it allows that as well.
Okay, I want to play devil's advocate for a moment here, just for the benefit of the crowd. Let's say my name is, give me a name. Okay, my name is Sukhwinder Singh.
Yeah. Okay.
And I come to see you. I want a visa right. to work in the for business in USA. Let's say a hotel.
Okay. Yeah.
So I come to you and I say, Mr. Goldberg, I want a visa to work in USA. I can invest,
right.
I don't know, $300,000. Let's say, what could you
yeah,
do for
American
me?
Dollars, yeah. Well, it's not just coming in and saying, okay, I've got. It's as easy as coming in and saying, I've got the money set up. First things I do is I sit down and we do a detailed business plan together. We do
okay.
a detailed questionnaire that I give my clients, and I tell them to fill that in. Once that's filled in, it gives me an idea of where we're going and the goals it wants to set, including financial goals. Then I take a look at where the area he wants to set up the business, take a look at the optimum area. So if it's a It depends on what kind of hotel. And from the questionnaire, let's say he wants to set up a hotel in Miami. So we go to Miami and we take a look at the area and we try and find an added location for him. This is, of course, if he hasn't already got this already sorted.
Exactly.
And what we do is once that's been secured, we take a look at getting him licenses, taxation. We get the personal taxation number for him. We get an EIN number for the company. We set up a bank account for the company. We start looking at incorporation as an LLC or even as fully incorporated. Most people look at an LLC because it gives a little bit more leniency when it comes to the tax laws. Incorporation is quite complicated, and I wouldn't push people towards that. Unless they were actually bringing in quite a few or going to hire quite a few employees, and because the taxation laws favor LLCs for smaller companies. But then after that we would start looking at the paperwork. We'd put the paperwork together. We take a look at where the money's come from. The money has to come from legal sources. It can't come from any illegal sources. Well, let me explain. Legal sources could mean a gift, could mean you've saved it. It could mean a loan. It depends. It depends on where you've established the money. What it can't come from is from illegal services. Now, what that means is it can't come from gambling, or it can't come from money laundering,
drug dealing, drive-by shooting,
yeah,
or things like that.
Yeah,
oh.
Exactly. But they will check the background of the money. They ask for quite a lot of evidence to prove where the money comes from. But if let's say the money is okay, from there we would put all the financial statements together. We will put the business plan. We would look at getting all the personal information from the client and his family. We would look at getting ties and equities to Canada, because a lot of people think that once you get an e-visa that it's a backdoor to a green card, and it's not. It's not a dual intent visa. So you have to show that you've got strong ties to Canada, as we would say. So you
Canada,
have to prove
yeah,
that you've got a mortgage. You know what I mean by strong ties. So,
oh, yeah, strong ties.
And once we have all that together, yeah, like ties and equities. You have to prove he has bank accounts. You have to prove he's got a house. He has a mortgage. I know it seems a little silly because you're going to be in the United States setting up a business and working a business. But that is actually quite a common problem when people apply, because they don't show enough ties to their home country. And remember, this is called a non-immigrant visa. So it means that you don't immigrate on this visa.
So,
it means it's for a certain period of time. And that visa will have to be removed. Renewed. Sorry.
I just got an idea. So, a certain individual, let's just say, he has a conviction.
Yeah.
He was accused of and convicted of drug dealing.
Yeah.
in Canada. He did his 30 days in jail, which is typical.
Yeah.
You've got
him. And they gave him his cocaine back when he was leaving. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they gave it. Yeah, because his rights were violated. So, but now he's completely reformed. He also got into construction now. He saved his money from construction, and he also called overseas to get money from family, from land sales, whatever. So he applies for an E-2, and the border sees his conviction. Yes, he has a waiver. They're going to say to you, how do we know this money was not from sales of illegal product?
Well, he has to prove that. In the sense that he has to get ties to his family, he has to get letters from his family and signed in the presence of an attorney or a notary saying that this money was, and they have to prove that the money was taken out, so they'll have to show their bank accounts to prove the money came from them, and also they would have to like sworn affidavits. I would take sworn affidavits for them, and if it's land sales, I'd want to see the land sales for the money, because when you deal with I'm assuming he already has a waiver, right?
Yeah, he already has a waiver. We get him the waiver. He's clear for that.
Okay.
He can enter now.
Okay. All right. Well, then it's just a matter of proving where the money came. Where the money came from. It could be, and then as to his construction company, if the money is coming from there, we'd have to prove where the money came from, and then that usually goes back to the source. Right back to where the original loan or gift or whatever the case may be, money comes from. So that I'd have to see quite a lot of documentation, quite a lot of detailed documentation from his family and his business to prove where this money comes from. And that sometimes can be anywhere from 3 or 4 pages to 200 pages. It depends.
And the reason why I bring this up is because under the U.S. Immigration Code, the short version is, let's just say the same individual, I'll say John Smith. John Smith has a conviction for cocaine traffic. So it's going to be difficult for him to get sponsored under the family sponsorship in the USA. He meets a woman in Seattle, and she decides to marry him. And he goes for his green card interview. They say, well, sir, you do not qualify because of your cocaine conviction. So the E-2 is a bit of a, I don't want to say back door, but it's an alternate route for him to gain access to the USA. Yeah, or option to run his business. So if he has a 7-Eleven in Seattle, let's say.
Franchise
in Seattle. And he and his wife live in downtown Seattle, Main Street, let's say. He can stay there as long as visa is valid. And the waiver is valid.
Yes. Right.
So it's another way that if you have a waiver and you need to be with your family member in the U.S., you can obtain an E-2 through you, then you're still with your family.
Yeah, that's correct. Right.
Within the law.
To make sure that his waiver, the law says, the law states that you have to make sure that his waiver is valid for, because the visa will only be issued for as long as the E-2 would only be issued as long as the waiver is. So if the waiver is a year, it will only be issued a year, and it'll have to apply all over again. However, it's a valuable option for people that are in that situation that you mentioned, for them to acquire, say, the 7-Eleven, for instance, because the 7-Eleven has been around, since the 50s, and they have already got their paperwork in order, as you might say. So it'd just be a matter of paying the franchise fee and then setting up, getting the paperwork getting the franchise paperwork all ready, and then it, submitting it along with the application to the U.S. Embassy in Vancouver.
So in a nutshell, to sum it up, an E-2 visa can be obtained with the right amount of money, which will allow you to have that business in the USA, and you can be there, as a person. And if you have a Canadian spouse or foreign spouse or whatever, you can be there, so to speak.
Yes, Yes, you can. You can be there. It's a viable option. But just remember, like I said before, this is just a temporary visa. This is not a permanent way into the United States. However, it could be. It could turn into that, but that's a whole different category. Whole different category.
A quick scenario.
Yeah.
You say temporary, which is fine. But if you happen to keep the store open for 100 years and you live to be 120 years old and you maintain your waiver over that period of time, even though it's temporary, but you've been in the USA for 100 years.
Right. Right. It's still temporary, yeah. It's nothing that you can reapply for as many times as you want. It doesn't really matter. That's the problem actually. With people that use it to retire, E2, they can use it to retire. So what they've done is they bought a Subway. Subway's quite big actually. He buys the Subway, sets it up, and the Subway basically runs itself. So these people have they basically have looked at this and they've said, okay, well this is it. So it can run itself. They hire a manager. They get it coming. But after 5 years. After 5 years, it has to be renewed. The visa has to be renewed. So
just one quick thing, though.
5 years. What's that?
Not to interrupt you. One quick thing. Your voice sounds a bit far off. Yeah. I don't know if it's the microphone or.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah. That's
that better? Okay.
Yep. So
the people that do this have to.
That's perfect.
They have to renew it every 5 years, and that's the problem. It's actually they're trying to get legislation before Congress right now and the president, I guess, to say to show that these people, this is going to be a way of staying inside the United States. Excuse me.
Oh yeah. He has to take a business call. In the interim, hopefully. The E2 has been explained, to your satisfaction in regards to obtaining the said E2 to live.
Sorry about that.
I hate to use the word.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Sorry.
No problem.
I'm back.
I think we've got the E2 covered. Oh.
Okay. But it's quite unfair for people that have been putting their life savings towards staying in the United States and renewing their visa. It costs them $10,000 every 5 years to renew their visa, and it's kind of shocking that there's no back door to a green card, because it should be, because these people provide jobs, they pay taxes, they do all the things that Americans do, except they don't have the rights. And that's a shame, really. That's a real shame.
And that's dreadfully awful. Let's chat about the E-1 then. People want to know about the E-1 visa.
Well, the E-1 visa is basically a visa that allows you to do substantial trade inside the United States, and you've got to have at least 50% trade with another country. So let's give you an example. You have trade, but say you're opening up a manufacturing company, and the manufacturing company sells, I don't know, combs. And this basically what they do is they import combs to all these countries, and they've got a deal with the dollar stores inside the United States. So they're providing. So what they're doing, they're selling, and they're trading with the United States in these combs. Well, that's an example of what an E-1 does. An E-1 is for people that are in high finance or manufacturing or that do a lot of trade or finances with outside the United States and with the United States. So I would put that down for people like in the shipping company or like UPS or Federal Express or also like companies that manufacture goods that are sold overseas. You see, it depends. It's not the E2, where the E2 is for business and setting up a business. This is more for people that want to either set up a business in trade and manufacturing, or high trade between the United States and their home country.
What about the EB-5? Let's go over that quickly.
Okay. Quickly, the EB-5 is a visa that allows a person to come and get a green card inside the United States. Now, the EB-5 is based on a high-end investment of $500,000 to $1 million, depending on what regional area you're in. Now, it can be it can be a business that's in trouble. It can be a new business, or it can be an extension of a business. A business is actually expanding. It cannot just be a business, just taking over a business. It has to be in those three categories. There's a lot of what are called regional centers around the United States. And the United States, basically, in these regional centers, there are new projects, and they're looking for investor money from the E5 program. For example, say John Smith decides he wants to invest inside the United States in the EB-5 program, and it's a minimum investment is say $500,000. Well, he goes to a broker or a lawyer or a consultant and says, I want to invest this money in a business. So then it's up to the person to pick which one, and there's quite a few. They think there's well over 100 regional centers inside the United States, and he decides he wants to pick a hotel that's just being built. So he gives. So the money's in escrow. It's held and it's transferred over to that company, and then that company itself has to make sure that they hire 10 American citizens. They have to make sure that goes for at least 2 years. But these regional centers have already started hiring it, because they've got construction staff, they've got management staff, and they've already got their employees, and that's just at the beginning. And when it gets built, they're going to have to hire staff like housekeeping and front desk and everything else. So it would be a plus for him to get involved in this. However, I wouldn't expect anyone to do this themselves. I suspect this to go through a person that's got the experience. To look at these projects and make sure that they're sound and verified and approved by the USCIS, because each new project or each regional center has to be approved by the USCIS and Homeland Security before it can set themselves up as an EB-5 project. But the EB-5, once you get it, you get a conditional green card for 2 years. And after that, after the 2 years of the conditional, you can ask for a release to a regular green card, which means that you're looking at least 2 years to get the green card approved, and you're looking at least another 2 years on the conditional green card. So this process takes over 4 years, 5 years before you actually look at having a permanent green card. But however, what's to the advantage is the fact is that right now, the limit is $500,000. As of April 28th, it's going up. At least with the speculation that it will go up. And some people are speculating that it might go up to $1 million, but I would say my professional opinion, the way I look at it, it'll probably go up to minimum $800,000 and maximum $1.35 million. So if there are people who are thinking about doing this, I suggest they try this done the 28th or the end of April of this year.
I think there's no question in the mind of the audience that you are definitely the expert at these investment
funds,
hands down.
Well,
go
ahead, sorry.
So the last one was L1, and I was going to try to do that one. Since you're the expert, you can tell me if I'm wrong. The L1 is the intercompany transferee. So
right.
A simple way of explaining it is, let's say if you live in Surrey, British Columbia, and again, your name is, let's say, Sukhwinder Singh, because I have good friends named Sukhwinder, so I like Sukhwinder. And I own a cabinet company in Surrey.
Yes.
And I have, I don't know, 10 employees and, et cetera. well, I want to open a branch office in California, Sacramento. So
okay.
I would come to you and say, well, I have this company. I had it 10 years. And then you would do the application or the petition.
Yeah.
And
then
I would be able to transfer down to be the manager, general manager of the subsidiary branch in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Or wherever in California.
Yeah, you could.
Because it's L1A and L1B.
There's an L1A and L1B, correct. Basically, the L1A is for managers and executives. And we're not talking about managers and executives. I'm talking about a manager that's got supervisors under him, that's high up in the company, that doesn't have to be a shareholder. It just has to be a person that's actually got the company and been with the company for at least, I would say, 7 years and three years, even though you can, I would look at a person that's been 3 years out of and had one good year. But usually I like to have them for, I like to see that they've done at least 7 years with the company. So, and out of that 7 years, there's been at least 3 years in management, even though that's not the norm. Eventually, what will happen, that we have to show that this company has been operating inside Canada for the period of time of 10 years and is actually operating and not just a holding company or not just a company that's just a shell company that's just there. It's actually got employees and it's filed taxes and it's up and running. And then that company decides to send Surinder Singh all the way down to Sacramento to open up an office and supervise. Then we would have to get all these documents together, his passport and his as you said, your T4s, but W2s, I guess they call it down there, and prove that he's been with the company. And the organizational charts to show that he's up there with the president and the CFO and the COO, and so it has to be a really good job description, and that's a key important for this position. Also, once you get down there, the first visa it can be issued for depending on who you get at the embassy or the border. It can be issued for a year, or it can be issued for 3 years or 7 years. Most first-time L1s are a year, and then you have to renew that after a year. But there's no time limit to say when you have to apply for a green card with an L1. It's a dual intent visa, which means that you could have been on an L1 for 3 months and apply to become a permanent resident inside the United States. There's no time frame, and
right.
The visa and the visa number for that for L1 intercompany transferees is immediate. There's no waiting time for it, so it's an immediate switch to an L1 to an I-51 I-551 card.
I think for the sake of the audience, so we don't want to give them info overload.
Right.
How can they reach you?
Okay.
Let's say if they're in England right now, I know you're at goldberg.com.co. How else could they reach you there?
Yeah.
Well, I guess by the website they could reach you. Just go to the site.
Yeah, if you just go to my webpage on the contact, it has all my pertinent information there. I don't have all my business numbers in front of me right now, but if you want to go to the website and just goldberg.com.co and take a look at my webpage. There's information on franchise there, and it's got a frequently asked questions that answers quite a few of your questions that you might have, and all my contact information. And we do one-on-one interviews either in our office or over Skype. We charge you. We give a free initial consultation. And then depending on the category, we charge a nominal fee for consultation. And in that consultation, you at the end of the consultation, you'll know everything there is to know about setting up a business inside the United States in any of these categories.
Perfect. And if someone wants to give you a shout in Surrey, what's the Surrey number? Well,
right.
What is your Surrey number? Although I know it here.
If you want to get our Surrey office, which is we have a Surrey office with Ken, which was doing this show.
With me.
That's you. Yeah. That's the Surrey office is 778-807-5045. That's it. That's 778-807-5045.
So 778-807-5045. I just want to repeat so people can can hear.
That's the Surrey office.
Worry. I think that pretty much wraps this up. Hands down, you are the expert.
You're probably my business.
I think the people, they mostly care. Look, you can do the job. Here's the money. Do it. And we are happy, which we know we can do the job.
Well,
you can do the job.
Well, as a team, you would take care of if there's any problems at the border or any problems with past criminal intent or criminal records, we
criminality,
take care of the rest. We're basically a one-stop shop, aren't we?
Excellent. I totally agree. Well, I don't want to hold you too much, too long. I know you're a busy man. So bottom line, give us a shout at 1-888-908-3841 if you're in Canada, British Columbia or anywhere in Canada, and you can speak to Mr. Seth, by Skype. Or if you're in London, you can actually get a hold of him in London. Website, ring him up there, go see him in London at the London office. It's on, I think he's, what's it?
Yeah.
Kent Hall.
It's 152 City Road. 152 City Road. We're in suite 2034.
Oh, okay. Perfect. I won't hold you up.
All right, then.
It's been a great show. I love to. We're happy to have you on as a guest. And again, audience, that's goldberg.com.co. And also, he is there when you need you when you need it as well. I get the slogan mixed up here.
All
right, my friend. So,
take care.
So until next time, audience. We had fun today. We have more fun coming, and we shall chat with you again. And remember. Denied entry to USA. We are there when you need us.
Here I stand, unbent. Gotta represent. South Bend, Trope, LA. Every day, nigga, monthly, yearly. 34 to be exact, nigga, fear me. Atomic dog, I'm in your zone, your area. Bull Massive, Pit Bull Terrier. I'm coming through like the Wu dumping chambers. Third life, get it right, nigga, danger. 7 shots to my body, ain't no killing me. Lock and load, double back, I had you feeling me. 40 Glock up on your block, headshot. Chest plate getting blown when the 9 knocks. And in the distance, ain't no resistance. Say your homeboy swear they gonna murder me. Said they heard of me, they think I'm on a murder spree. But when they roll up and Chase try to find me, that's when I'm dumping with the Fat Mac 90. From the cradle to the grave, I've been kicking static. I've been around from revolvers to automatic. See, I'm a stand-up, stomp-down soldier. Much older now from back then, when I was thugging in my songs on my black swim. See, I'm a G, nigga, married to the thug shit. Here the COE, Sherm stick. That's how we do it, kicking back.
Commit to going combat, gangster video, terrorize the city. I thought
caught up. Join us next time for another episode of the Denied Entry USA Show. A show to not only educate you about U.S. entry waivers, but we're also here to help you stay out of trouble. Make your choices in life wisely. Handle your business, or your business will handle you.
Yeah, we're gonna get y'all a little something about what happens on an everyday life over here, man. Each and every day, it's the same niggas, the same people, the same community, whatever. We don't change.
As I ride, smoking that pot, oh, still stay lit, my eyes are so, they clinging like fire. I keep replacing, but I know I get so higher. See, man, it's something that cut with Levi's on creep. Don't peace if you got beef, let's handle it in the street. Ask free, pancakes, my G's gon' bounce up. Spit 500 on chronic and smoke the whole dog.